to Radio Aryan.
Hello and welcome to the Stormer Report. Today's date is the 25th of January 2016. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and I'm very pleased to say that we're welcoming back Mr. Andrew Anglin today to the Stormer Report. How are you doing today, Andre?
I'm doing excellent, Sven. Never been better in my life. How are you doing?
Excellent. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, I'm doing pretty well here. I'm just pleased that we've managed to make contact and we can record a new podcast for the listeners. And we've got two main subjects that we're going to go into today, and that's Donald Trump and what's been happening since these cologne attacks in Europe and the resistance to them. But I think we should probably start off with the most current news, which is to do with Donald Trump and what's been happening to conservatism in America. Now, I must admit, I'm not too up on this subject myself, so perhaps you should really start this one off and explain what's been happening and what's been happening with the National Review, I believe the name of the publication is.
Yes, the National Review has published something called Conservatives Against Donald Trump, which is basically a manifesto. I called it a manifesto, and then I saw other people, you know, mainstream sources calling this, referring to this document that they produced as a manifesto. It's an anti-Trump manifesto where they go through and have 20-something, about half of them are Jews, that I've been able to confirm are Jews, neoconservatives coming out attacking Donald Trump and saying that he's evil because, and it's because they say he's evil because, but these reasons, none of them make any sense. They're basically fumbling to explain why Donald Trump is so evil, which, I mean, you would think these are Republicans, whatever, they support the Republican Party. This is a guy like got massive energy behind him. So you think, all things being equal, these people would be like, maybe I don't agree with him on everything, but we're going to have to stand behind this guy because he's got so much energy. He can take down Hillary Clinton. But instead of coming out with that view, they come out with, we have to stop this guy because he's evil because, I mean, they just list off like nonsense reasons. Like he doesn't want to have a world war with Russia. We need to have a world war with Russia. They come out with, he wants a big government, which nobody even really has any idea what that means. I mean, these people that attacked Ron Paul, was saying he wanted to shut down like almost every government institution, organization that there is. Ron Paul wanted to shut down, and they were against him because they said he was crazy because you can't shut down the whole government. It's just gibberish that they've come out attacking him, and it's a very, very clear subversive Jewish conspiracy against Donald Trump because he stands against their wars, all these wars they want, all of these the open borders that they're pushing for with the whole immigration thing. I mean, these conservatives, quote unquote conservatives, have pushed for massive wars for the Jews. They pushed for open borders. They pushed for all of these quote unquote free trade treaties, which have resulted in just all American jobs being shipped overseas for no real reason that anybody can explain other than that it saves, you know, a couple of dollars for these multinational corporations mainly run by Jews.
And it's quite clear that it's a conspiracy against him. It's quite clear that they're all Jewish. I'm quite impressed with that list that you compiled. You've got all the pictures of them there. It's quite clear that they are all Jews. And this is and these are people, are they all aligned with the National Review, or are they writers for the National Review?
Well, I mean, the National Review published this manifesto with all these different authors. I published a... Today, Hunter Wallace came up with a list of different Jews. Not all of them were included in the National Review, but they all support the National Review. The National Review is basically the, for those who don't know, I mean, probably most Americans know, maybe non-Americans don't know, but kind of like the base of what we call neoconservatism, which has become the core of the Republican Party, which is a Jewish ideology mainly focused on free trade. As I said, free trade, wars for the Jews in Israel, and open borders, and pushing the Republican Party towards these positions. And they'll say, oh, yeah, well, we don't like faggots either. But they then they'll come out and say, oh, well, no, actually, we have to allow the faggots to get married. Jennifer Rubin, who came out, she's not a writer for the National Review. I don't know if she's probably written for the National Review before, but she's a Washington Post, quote-unquote, conservative Jew. She came out and supported the National Review attack on Trump. And she has personally pushed for gay marriage and wrote an article saying that quote-unquote conservatives, whatever this word means, nobody really seems to know, that conservatives need to stop pushing against gay marriage because they're fighting a losing battle. They just need to accept it. So, you know, and these National Review people will come out and talk about abortion and these emotional trigger issues, et cetera, et cetera. I'm against abortion. But it's used as this emotional trigger issue that really has no real content, because nobody is actually talking about banning abortion. People just come out and say, well, I'm against abortion. And then it's like, oh, well, I'll vote for this capitalist. This capitalist wants to ship my jobs overseas and wants to start bombing Syria because he loves fetuses. You know, I mean, it's just nonsense. And basically, the American right wing has spiraled into a void of pure gibberish controlled by Jews. And the NRO is, or the National Review, NRO is National Review Online, which is what, you know, their website is called, which obviously gets a lot more readers than their physical publication, which they do still publish a physical publication, which has a separate editorial team. Actually, but they kind of become the figureheads of this new right, quote unquote right wing movement in the United States, which is controlled completely by Jews, the same Jews who rallied around George Bush and Dick Cheney to launch all these wars against the Muslims for no reason. And it was also under George Bush, with all these Jewish advisors, many of whom were writers for the National Review, that they opened these borders. I mean, they just completely opened up the borders under George Bush. And he's supposed to be the, you know, the conservative. He opened the borders wide open for the Mexicans, and they started mass importing Muslims. I mean, I remember, and sometime maybe 2005, 2006, Michael Chertoff, who was a Jew, I mean, he probably still is, he was the head of Homeland Security under George Bush, gave a speech where he starts talking about Muslim terrorism, and then he transitions into talking about, oh, well, we need more Muslim immigrants into America. So, I mean, this is the line of thought that we're dealing with these people. This is a very low level of thinking, which is sold to people with low IQs, mainly evangelical Christians who are stupid. I mean, these people, I'm sorry, I think they're well-meaning, probably good people, probably fun to have at the barbecue, whatever, but I mean, these people are dumb.
Well, they must be if they're accepting this line that conservatives need to stop conserving things. I mean, that's essentially what they are saying. But wasn't there a bit of an operation against this the online version of it, a successful operation? Hasn't there been people that have resigned or that they've lost all their credibility? Isn't that what's happened just recently? I recall seeing that there was lots of people trolling their site, and they were getting really confused and couldn't tell who it was that was trolling them. In some instances, they were thinking it was the far left, which is, I think, is a bit of a credit to us, which shows that we're, you know.
Yeah, well, they said it was liberals trolling them. Liberal Nazis. What? Yeah, I mean, this is what they said, and then they started saying that it was people hired by Putin working for Russia trolling them. So, yeah, no, they got trolled bad, and they couldn't really control their comment section at all. They need better moderators, I guess. But that hasn't gotten any publicity. What has gotten publicity is that their credibility has totally collapsed. I mean, they blew their entire credibility by pushing all this anti-Trump material, and people are like, well, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? What is your goal? And then if you look, I mean, all these people are Jews. So it's almost like they're pinning yellow stars on themselves, because you can just look and see who are all these people that are saying they're quote unquote conservatives. They're attacking the one guy who's gotten all this energy for what are ostensibly the agendas of the conservative movement, which are, you know, protecting American sovereignty and American traditional values, or you would think that would be the positions of the American Conservative Party. And they're just attacking him and saying, well, yeah, but he's for big government, and maybe he's a secret liberal, and, you know, this guy, Trump, he doesn't even want to have a war with Russia. You know, I mean, it's just bizarre, and people are looking at this and saying, what is going on with these people? Why are they doing this? And, you know, I mean, it's a really good opportunity for people to say, well, I can tell you why they're doing it. Look at their noses.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. When you think about it, I mean, Donald Trump is the most successful conservative, most successful Republican that there's been for a long time. He's got so many people supporting him.
He's the most successful politician since Adolf Hitler. I mean, this guy, I can say that straight up right now. I will say that Donald Trump is the best and most successful politician since Adolf Hitler.
Well, he's certainly stirring up a lot of admiration for him. He's got the crowds following. He's got the people cheering him. He's certainly inspiring people. Americans do seem inspired again. If you think his appeal seems to be crossing right the way across a vast sort of broad swathes of people. I mean, you've got people with money, people without money, people with jobs, people without jobs, people that say that once Trump gets in, we'll be able to have a job again, we'll be able to work again. So he's got this appeal to lots of people, and because what he's saying is appealing to lots of people. I noticed in the comments section, Daily Mail, Express, the British news articles, and in the comments there's a lot of British people that are now supporting Donald Trump, despite this nonsense that they had, this pantomime that they had in the Houses of Parliament, where they claimed that they were debating whether to allow Trump into the country or not. This takes me off at a bit of a tangent, yeah. but it shows that those petitions are absolutely useless. They mean nothing at all, because they made it quite clear that there was no outcome that could come from that debate. If they had decided that they wanted to ban Trump, there was nothing they could have done. So they let it slip that all those petitions that people signed, that this great democracy for the people, we can have a say in what the government do or say, all it is a pantomime. It's just a play that they put on for the people to watch, and they can't do anything at the end of it. So the people that sign these petitions, it's just a release valve. It's just a pressure valve to let the pressure out. I mean, I think America is so lucky to have Donald Trump, to have somebody that's saying these things. I mean, you look at Britain. Britain's supposedly the most well-known quote-unquote far-right politician, Nigel Farage, and he rubbished Trump, and he said that he didn't agree with what Trump was saying. He was too wet to support Donald Trump.
About the Muslims.
Yeah.
He said that it's too extreme to ban Muslims. This is insane. I mean, why would anybody want even a single Muslim? Okay, a single one in each town to run the kebab shop. I mean, but seriously, why would you even want one of these people in your country? What is the reasoning behind it? I mean, it's not like you have a bunch of people coming out, the brilliant Muslim scientist invented a new form of rocket ship. I mean, this isn't happening. You're not getting productivity from these people. What you're getting is rape, murder, terrorism, and other types of violence. And then, I mean, in the best case scenario, you get welfare leeching. So why would anybody want even one single one of these people? Nobody can explain it. But even Marine Le Pen came out and said, oh, that's too extreme, too extreme to ban all Muslims. I mean, Farage says, too extreme to ban all Muslims. All these people are saying it's too extreme. It's like, well, why? I mean, what benefit is it to the people to have any Muslims? Why would you want even one? Nobody can present an argument, a counter argument. They just say, oh, well, this is like Hitler.
Well, I wish it was like Hitler. You bring up there about the fact they haven't got any scientists. Well, part of the reason for that is that they burned all the books. They burned the library at Alexandria. In the Quran, it says if a book is talking about how good the Quran is, well, we've already got the Quran. And if it's not talking about how good the Quran is, then we don't need it. So they're well known for destroying libraries. What happened with why we went on the Crusades? Just because we'd had three or four centuries of jihad against us. And when these Muslims came in to these cities in the Middle East and in North Africa, they destroyed the cities, they burned all the knowledge. And this supposed clever knowledge that they had, this weaponry and the astronomy that they had, that all came from the slaves that they took. These slaves that they stole from the white people. They even had a tax which had to be paid in slaves, basically. They would castrate the boys, and 1 in 10 to 1 in 30 would die from the castration, and the women would be taken as sex slaves. And they had roughly, it was just slightly more blacks than they had whites. And you're talking 1.25 million white people taken by them as slaves between the 15th and the 18th centuries. And these people had declared war on us. That's what Islam is. It's a jihad against all the other races until you have a new world order, but run by Muslims according to the Sharia law. And that's why we went on the Crusades. That's why they came into Europe. That's why they took Spain. Why they tried to take France, and we fought them back from France. The whole time they've been trying to conquer Europe, same as they went into India, destroyed India. The whole religion itself declares that anybody who is not a Muslim is an aggressor and is against them. And that means they are at war with them. So anyone that is not a Muslim, any woman that is not a Muslim, any girl that is not a Muslim, then they are legal booty for them to take. They can take them and rape them. That's quite permissible. And this week we've seen the head of a very large Muslim organization in Germany blaming the Germans for the fact that the women got raped in Cologne because Germany sells alcohol. And they said that the women deserved it because of the way they were dressed. Yeah.
Yeah. Which you know, he came out and said this thing about the way they were dressed. I mean, it was like 0 degrees Celsius. So how were these women actually dressed? Were they actually dressed like sluts in that weather? I mean, a lot of them, I watched the interviews with them, and they said, well, it's a good thing I was wearing a big coat, or they would have ripped my clothes off. So I don't think these women were actually dressed like sluts. I think that was a myth that he was propagating there. I mean, generally in Germany, and I've been in Germany, I don't think women especially dress like sluts, not like they do in the United States or Britain. But certainly they weren't all. I mean, 126 women got gang raped here. So you're going to blame the Germans for this. It's utterly insane. But this is it's a program. It's part of their religion to rape the women in order to force them to convert to Islam. Because, I mean, these girls are saying, this girl came out on, well, she posted it on Facebook, and it got deleted by Jew Zuckerberg after his meeting with Angela Merkel, that he's now censoring anything that's critical of immigrants. But this girl, it's now on YouTube, it's on the Daily Stone or the website. She came out, a German girl, she's 16, she came out and said, you know, people just live in fear, that the women all live in fear when they go out. They have these men, they swarm around them, and even in the daytime, they've got these men swarming around them. And this, and she said very clearly in this video, she said, well, am I supposed to start wearing a burqa? And of course, that's what they want you to do. This is a program to mass convert Europe into Islam. And, you know, I mean, I don't think that this is the goal of the Merkel and these EU people, the Jews generally. I don't think that their actual goal is to convert Europe to Islam, but it's just so obvious that this is the only possible thing that can happen. And they are so obsessed with destroying white people and destroying European history and culture that they're okay with that if it just does convert everything to Islam. And so, I mean, this is what we have right now. We have an Islamization process that we're going through. This is what this mass immigration, it's what it's leading to, is an Islamization of Europe.
Well, perhaps the German girls didn't have very many clothes left after donating them all to the refugees the month before. I mean, quite an innocent reason for them not having very many clothes on that night. But one of the other things that part of Islam is that they blame the woman if she does get raped, because they say that she must have been inviting it. So this is an essential part of Islam, is that if a woman does get raped, then it's her fault. And it's not the Arab's fault for doing it. And they'll even use gang rape as a punishment. There was one instance in Pakistan. One of the young lads was caught walking with a girl from another village, and they took him to court. And the sentence of the court was that his older sister should be gang raped. So gang rape is used as a way to intimidate women. And it's exactly as you say, Andre, it's because they want them all to be wearing the burqa. And this is the ulterior motive behind it. And this is why their imams will support this, because it all pushes Europe in the Islamified direction, to all be under Sharia law, which is what their goal is. And it really is like the New World Order. That's the law that they want for the New World Order, is Sharia. That's what the Muslims want for the Muslim New World Order. Of course, you've also got the New World Order, which is what the Jews are pushing, and the EU and America. They want to have everything all under them, and the Muslims want to have it all under them, but underneath the Sharia law. So you've got these two groups. Both of them are against white people, and they're both being used against white people. Unfortunately, some of our white people just don't realise this, but I think they are going to realise it this year. There have been some positive signs. You've got, I think, the Sons of Odin in Finland. There's another group that's just started up in Norway. You've got Operation Werewolf. There's another group of street patrols that started in Dusseldorf. So you've got these groups that are now forming that have said, well, we've had enough of this, and we're going to go out on the streets, and we're going to intimidate these Muslims so that they don't do this, because this is just a natural part of their religion. This is their way of forcing the host country that they're in to accommodate them and to accommodate their Muslim ways. And just to say, well, Germany has to ban all alcohol and then it won't happen, it's like blackmailing the host country. And this behaviour is so alien to our own people that I think partially that we just don't know how to deal with it. We don't know how, what to do or say when something like this occurs, because it's so shocking, and it's not something you'd ever countenance.
Sex attack. This is not something that people are familiar with. I mean, you hear that term gang sex attack, and you're like, what? What is going on? So, yeah, I mean, and part of it is just to overwhelm people. I mean, just that they can't even comprehend things. You know, I mean, 126 women officially now, by the official report that the government finally released in Germany, 126 women were gang raped. 126 women in one night on New Year's Eve were gang raped. And they said that they came out and said they have an official policy of covering it up, that the government ordered police to cover it up. I mean, this is what's happening, and you can't even comprehend it. It's just like, what? 126 women gang raped? The government was officially ordered the police to cover it up? You can't you can't process it. It's too much. And I mean, that's part of this whole strategy, is just overwhelm people with things that they can't even process.
I've got some other numbers here, again, equally hard to process. You've got, in Cologne that night, 359 sexual assaults, 821 complaints, and 659 victims of that brown mob. And as you say, that it's all been covered up. Well, actually, one of this brings me to a question I had. I noticed that you've been calling this Ficky. Where did you get that term from? For what they're doing.
It's what they say when they attack women. They say Ficky.
That's what they say.
I don't know. It's some Arabic term. I don't really know the origins of it. Nobody seems to know. But it's what they say. And the girls reported that many girls have reported that when these men come at them and start grabbing their boobs, they say this, Ficky.
So repulsive. It just makes you so angry. You think of those horrible, grotesque, dirty, filthy brown fingers all over our women. It just makes you furious.
I mean, imagine one of these monkeys. This is what they say when they come at you. They say, Ficky.
Sickening.
I mean, this is like some stuff, like, you just can't even imagine the level of primitivism we're dealing with.
Well, it's incredibly primitive, but I've also heard it called Tar Rush, and it has this name, and it's part of their culture.
Yeah.
It happened in Egypt the first time it got reported was it happened to a white journalist who was in Egypt, the Arab Spring, the supposed wonderful democracy in Egypt, went out there to report on it, and it happened to her, and she was surrounded by these Arabs, filthy Arabs, and they all groped her and tried to tear her clothes off, and apparently this is what happens if they see a woman who is not accompanied by a man, then that's what they will do. And this is essentially to teach the woman that she needs to be out with a man. So this is what they will do if they see a vulnerable woman. And you can't expect anyone seeing that to then help the victim in distress. The people that see it will come over to join in, and they will form an outer ring to protect the ones on the inside. This is what's been happening. Same thing has been happening
in
Sweden.
Yeah, I mean, this is what they do. Nobody can question that this is actually a repeated behavior pattern. It's happened not just in. I mean, they actually have an Arabic word. You just said it. I can't remember the word.
Tarash. I'm not sure if that's the correct pronunciation.
Yeah, this word. Yeah, this is. It's some kind of tradition that they have, that they just gang rape women that they see on the streets. I mean,
how can you have that in your country?
Merkel brought all these people into Germany. She brought all these people into Germany and said, "Well, no, it's okay, it's fine. There's no problem here." I mean, anybody could have seen that this was going to happen. There's not any surprise here. We know what these people are. And she didn't even bring in, I mean, she wasn't even bringing in women and children. She was just like, well, yeah, 85% men under the age of 30. They're victims. They're vulnerable innocents. We need them in Germany. They'll pay our pensions. Oh, well, sorry, none of them can read. We're going to have to pay billions of dollars, billions of euros to feed and house them. And probably none of them will ever work, but we have to do it because it's morality. You know, I mean, the whole situation is so insane, you just really can't even process it.
Have you seen what some of their solutions to this has been? They're going to bring out leaflets saying that you need to treat people with respect, with these cartoon pictures and telling them all about respect for the law and democracy. But as you say, if they can't read.
Some of them have pictures that have a hand grabbing an ass with a cross through it. Like, hey, don't grab women's asses. Don't do that. Hey, don't do that. I mean, so this is, and then they say, well, they're exactly the same, we just need to educate them. But, I mean, do you really need to educate a person? I mean, okay, if you have a white baby who grew up with no education and no influence on it at all, is it going to go around randomly grabbing women's asses? I mean, there's a certain inborn understanding of basic social norms that doesn't exist with these people. I mean, the suggestion that a white person, if they weren't educated, would just go out and gang rape women and just grab them on the streets wherever they saw them, just start groping them. I don't think anybody really can possibly believe that white people, it's only because of quote unquote education that white people don't act like that. Well, I mean, back way before we had an education system, this wasn't happening. I mean, we never had a situation where women were getting gang raped. I mean, that's not any part of European history that you had a gang rape phenomenon or a street grope phenomenon. This is not, this is something completely alien to white European culture. And they're saying, you know, oh, well, it's just education. You just have to tell them they're not supposed to do that. But I mean, if you have somebody who needs to be told not to commit gang rape on the street, you know, I mean, what kind of people are you dealing with? I mean, and this is, I think a lot of people are looking at this now like, well, what kind of people are we dealing with? And then they're coming out and saying, oh, well, it's just, we just need to educate them. They just need to learn that they're not supposed to gang rape women. And I think that's a big wake-up call for a lot of people, because when you hear, well, we need to give them classes to tell them not to gang rape women on the streets, a lot of people are like, well, why do we need a class to tell them that they're commit gang rape on the streets?
Well, it's not just gang rape on the streets, it's defecating on the streets. It's not just defecating on the streets, it's defecating in the swimming pools. They've been defecating in the swimming pools. Yeah. In the swimming pools. I was just reading about that today. And if you think, well, how would the Muslims deal with this sort of problem? Well, how did they deal with the blacks being exceptionally virile and overly sexed? Well, they castrated them all. That's how they dealt with it. They castrated all the black slaves because they thought that the blacks were too oversexed. So they chopped all the bits off. And if you look at, well, what do the Muslims do if they catch their own committing crimes, theft or whatever? Well, they chop their hands off. So giving them leaflets and expecting that to deal with the problem is incredibly naive. And it's just going to embolden them. It's just going to make them even worse, because they're going to see that and they're just going to laugh. They're not going to take any notice of that. They're just going to find that exceptionally hilarious that these people, that they can do this to them. And the only way they get punished is they get given a comic asking them politely not to do it.
They get asked politely not to do it. No, I mean, nobody's been arrested over the Cologne gang rapes. They arrested 30 men, they said. They haven't released their names, but they arrested 30 men. They said they're North Africans. And none of them are being charged with the gang rapes. So, I mean, how many men were involved in these gang rapes? I mean, it's called group sex attack or group rape. 126 instances of it. So how many men does that involve? 126 incidences.
1,000, they said. At least 1,000.
I mean, how many men have to be involved for it to be a gang rape? I guess only 2. I don't know. But, you know, it had to be hundreds and hundreds of men. And they've only arrested 30, and none of those 30 are being charged with the gang rapes. So this is literally like, you can gang rape on the streets and you will not be punished. You will not even be arrested. This is the situation in Germany now. Which is apparently, according to Mort Zuckerman, the best country in the world.
This is what I mean by it's going to embolden them. It reminds me of Rotherham, where you say, well, this happened in Rotherham, and these 1,400 girls were raped, and the Muslims came out and said, oh, it was just a few bad eggs in our community. But the rest of the community all covered it up for them. And all of them that were out on this New Year's Eve covered up for the rest of them. The reports originally were that there was a 1,000-strong mob of North Africans that were speaking Arabic that were doing this. So out of that 1,000-strong mob, hundreds of women gang raped, and you've got 30 arrests, and it's all been covered up. So the Muslims see that this has all been covered up, and they think, great, we can go out and do more of this. And they won't even get reported. And it wasn't just in Germany, it's been in Sweden. It's been in the last two summers at a festival in Sweden, a festival for under 16s, for the youngsters to go to.
Well, the girls came out and spoke about that because they were encouraged by girls. There were a couple really great girls that came out after Cologne who gave testimony to the media who were really, I really have to salute these girls. They were incredibly brave, great girls who came out and spoke about these attacks. You know, teenage girls who were mass gang attacked, who came out and spoke about it. And that inspired girls in Sweden and in other places in Germany to come out and talk about the fact that they had been attacked. You know, this is really great. I love that video of the 16-year-old girl in Germany coming out and speaking about, you know, her whole experience with these people. It's really good to see this girls coming out like this. They're all, I have to note, they're all very young girls. They're all under 20 that I've seen coming out and talking about this, because I think once you get to be about 20, 21, 22, that age range, you're so brainwashed by feminism. I mean, the German showed this. I thought it was fake when I first saw it, but it turns out I think it's real. But a girl holding up a sign saying, "We'll trade our racists for your rapists." You know, saying we would rather have rapists than racists. And I think that's a pretty standard view for a lot of white European women. But yeah, I've been very proud, and I have to say, as somebody who's been accused of being anti-woman, I'd say that I'm very proud of these girls who have come out and spoken about these attacks. I think it's very heartening, very encouraging to see this happening.
Well, I think people get stuck in their ways once they get into their 20s and they don't want to admit that they're actually on the wrong path. They don't want to admit that they've actually made some mistakes and they actually need to change their entire way of thinking. In a lot of cases, people would rather just not know any new information, because it might mean that they've been promoting the wrong things all this time, and they want to save face. So they would rather pretend that it doesn't exist. You know, there's that proverb, ignorance is bliss. People would rather remain stupid than find out some uncomfortable truths, which might mean they have to modify their behaviour. So it might be that these young girls, they haven't got that old, that they're stuck in a rut, and they're still quite capable of changing their viewpoint on things, which they've obviously changed their viewpoint on this. And just to go back to something else that you were saying there about the fact that it was all young men of fighting age, 85% of them are young men of fighting age. Well, what they are saying now is that the second wave, now that all these males have been admitted into the countries, you've now got all their families following. They've now got loads of kids that are coming across on the boats, and they've got these women that are coming across on the boats. And of course, the human rights law says that the people that have already been allowed in have a right to a family life. So when you've got one of these males, say in Germany, and he's got four wives, because Islam allows polygamy, each one of those four wives has got three kids, every single one of them is going to be on benefits, and that Muslim that's been allowed into Germany now has a human right to bring all this other lot in with him. And this is now going to be the second lot, and they're already tugging at people's heartstrings and saying, "Oh, these poor children, look at them in the cold, look at them starving, look at them drowning in the boats, we must let them in.
Look at this boy on the beach."
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, what is the total number? Is it eight? Or is it might even be more that you're allowed to bring in?
Four wives.
Because of a right to family life.
I'm not sure the exact number for the right to family life, but I know that they're allowed to have up to four wives.
Well, that's the Islamic policy. I'm talking about the European policy for asylum seekers. Once they're in, they get to bring a certain number of family members. I think it's eight. I don't know. I mean, these numbers and things change from country to country. I think there's an official European policy that has a number, however, of how many family members they're allowed to bring in. Anyway, whatever the case, we're talking now that there's been almost 100,000 in the first, 25 days of the year. There's been almost 100,000 immigrants coming to Germany. And that's their official numbers, which are always a lie. So you're going to have at least another million coming in that way. But with the family reunification programs, you're going to have probably at least 5 million more being flown in to Germany. So, I mean, this is the situation. I don't know what people think. This is while all this fiki-fiki street gang sex is going on. And somehow this just continues. It's incredible to watch. I mean, how is nobody doing anything about it? How is nobody saying anything? Is it because of the Holocaust? The Germans are like, oh, well, we gassed those innocent kikes. Now we have to do this to ourselves. I mean, it's incredible to see. Germany, it's so insane. Just they're completely destroying themselves at such a rapid pace, like a very, very rapid pace, to the point where, I mean, in 5 years, this is going to be like a full-on Muslim country, like Saudi Arabia, like people running around chopping off heads and people in robes with beards talking about Allah on the TV. I mean, this is what we're dealing with.
Well, it's like a vicious circle, really. People don't want to say anything about it because then that will give credit to the quote-unquote far right. It will give ammunition to the quote-unquote far right. And if the people that are saying something about it, they are called the far right, and the media doesn't want to promote the far right, and people don't want to be associated with the far right, so it all gets hushed up and silenced. And while it gets silenced, it gets worse and worse. This is what happens. This is what really infuriates me. We have our people that know all about this, that know all about the jihad. We know all the people behind it. We know the history of it all. None of us ever get asked for an interview on the news, ever. It's always some academic from a university that studies far-right movements. That's about the closest that you'll ever get to it. They will not give any airtime to anybody that actually knows about the problem.
I do get asked for interviews. I don't do them.
Well, that's your choice, I suppose. But they never seem to ask him about this. They never seem to ask him about this. They do give him interviews. RT are quite good with Richard Spencer. You know, there was a on there sort of almost every week. But they don't ask him about questions like this. They ask him about, you know, the last thing I think they would ask him about was immigration and Muslims and gang rape. They would ask him about other issues and then claim that they
sure
have a free speech.
About Richard Spencer? RT, yeah. RT does talk about the gang rape. Richard Spencer just likes doing interviews. He's an okay guy. I'm not trying to attack Richard Spencer, but I mean, he really likes doing interviews.
Yeah, RT do cover the issue, but they don't ask Richard Spencer about the issue. That's what I'm saying. They do cover it. They have got better.
But is RT, is Richard Spencer on RT? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen him on RT, as I say, about once a week he pops up on RT doing the talking head bit. But never about this situation. It's always about something different.
Hmm.
Yeah, they should do more. That's who they need to be asking about this. And we're seeing resistance to this, especially in Holland. There's been some serious sort of riots occurring over there, real discontent from the people. And this has been over, I forget how many it was, but an increase of about 5% on the people in that village, an increase of about 5% in refugees, and they said that's far too much. But in Germany, there was an increase of something like 90% on one village, and that just, you know, there was complaints about it, but that was all. But in Holland, they've actually sort of had some direct action over it. There's been fences thrown, tear gas used.
The Dutch have been good about this, and they've rioted. in several places. I don't have the names of the towns off the top of my head. But they have rioted in several places, and it's resulted in them canceling the invasion of their towns. So, yeah, I mean, the Dutch have been great. The Germans are laying down like, oh, just give it to me. But the Dutch have been great. They've stopped, multiple towns have stopped invasions by rioting.
Now, Finland was able to prevent this occurring on New Year's Eve. They locked all the refugees up in the in their refugee centres and prevented mass rapes from happening. So Finland knew about it, knew that the refugees were planning on doing something, and they managed to lock them up. So why did that not happen elsewhere? Why did that not happen in Germany? Because clearly...
in Germany, the police have literally been ordered to not do anything. And they said, reports said... that the rapists, the gang rapists in Germany were saying to the police, you can't touch me. Mama Merkel invited me here. You have to be nice to me. So, I mean, Germany is this is a failed state. I mean, this is a disaster. I don't know what to say. They invited these people into their country, and now they're getting raped by them, and now they're protecting the rapists. The police are sent out on the street to protect the rapists. And, okay, people are like, oh, well, it's just the government. It's the Jews. And it's like, okay, yeah, sure. But, I mean, at some point, when you have mass gang rapes and 126 women getting gang raped in one night and the police are attacking you, I mean, it's like, I can't just keep saying, oh, well, this is the Jews' fault. I mean, do something. Do something, guys. I mean, your country is being completely abolished in, like, a rapid fashion, and your women are begging you because they're getting gang raped and they're getting harassed on the streets, and you're doing nothing. So, you know, I mean, I'm having a hard time sympathizing here. I'm sorry you got blamed for a fake gassing. I'm sorry you've got Jews and so on, but I mean, it's at some point people have to take responsibility for their own situation, and I don't see German men doing that.
Hopefully they will soon, and they've got to, really. And this is what's so good about those girls that you were talking about, that managed to get the message out, because people that are talking about this, the social services are then coming around and stealing their children in Germany. When they report on Facebook critical of immigration, they've had their children stolen. So some very brave people that are speaking up.
Yeah, it's policy now to take people's children. I liked that girl, I can't think of her name right now. I don't know if her name was actually even given. But this girl who did this, it's 20-minute long video, and there's a transcript of it. You know, it's fantastic, this girl. But she said to German men, she said, German men, why are you not protecting your women? So, I mean, it was beautiful the way she said it. It was really... really great that she called out German men for not protecting the women. I mean, obviously a feminist would never even dare say, men, we need you to protect us. So, I mean, these younger girls who haven't been completely indoctrinated with feminism are much better on that.
Well, these feminists are going to be forced into going back to their traditional role of needing a man there. They're going to be forced into being like that by having these Muslims in their countries, which they said they wanted in their countries. They were, in the main, the ones advocating for more refugees. And because these refugees are here and gang raping them, it's not going to be long before they're going to be asking for men to be going out on the streets and accompanying them. And this is what a lot of these street patrol groups are doing. They're not going out looking for trouble. They're just going out so that there is a male presence on the streets to make sure that the women are feeling safe. So I think you are going to see a backlash against feminism because of this. Because if the feminists start speaking out against this, then the young girls who do want to go out are not going to be happy about it, are they? Because they're going to want the men on the streets to protect them from these Muslims. And this is the way nature works. If there's something against nature, then nature does all it can to put things right. We've got mixed multiculturalism, which is against nature. So the nature is of these other creatures that are coming to our countries is to attack us so that we move them out of the way. We've got feminism, which is against nature, which is destroying the relationship between the white man and the white woman. So again, nature is pushing this other force, these Muslims, to go against our women, which will force our women to beg our men, like in that video, to protect them. You know, this is the way things work. We just have to recognize it. And us, me and you, Andre, and the listeners, we do recognize this. This is why we reject multiculturalism and we reject feminism. But it's just a shame that it takes instances like gang rape and mass murders to actually get our people to reject these foreigners, which we should have done right from the very start. It's always been a group of people in our nations that have rejected them, but it should be all of us that reject them. If we were only taught the truthful history of Islam, we would reject them. But it should just be natural. Now, if you've got somebody that doesn't look anything like you, doesn't sound anything like you, doesn't smell like you, you know, they're not going to be like you. And especially as primitive as these people are, I mean, they really, really are like animals in their behavior.
These people are pooping in swimming pools, they're masturbating in saunas. I mean, these are primitive monkey people. And we've seen this on TV. I mean, I don't know how anybody can say, like, well, I didn't know that Muslims were backward primitive people. I mean, turn on TV, we've been seeing this for decades. Of these people with their riots and their fiki-fiki and their Allah Akbar, all this stuff. We've seen this. We know what these people are. Everybody knows what these people are. This is a disaster, this Islam.
The thing that gets me is it's the way that it increases in stages. You know, first off, we had this black on white crime. We had muggings, and we started having more rapes, and started having murders. Now we got mass murders: 120 people being murdered by them in a concert hall. You know, we get mass groups of our people that are shot while on holiday, and now we're getting mass groups, mass rape, mass gang rape, and this is just in the space of a year. You think last year we went from the shooting outside Charlie Hebdo, a few people, to a huge massacre in the French concert hall, and then a month later, this mass gang rape in Cologne. So, you know, where is it all going to end this year? The only way that it can end is in rejecting them and pushing them out. There's not an official plan to end it, but there will have to come to an end. We will have to push them out sooner or later. And the further it goes before we do that, the worse it's going to be when it happens. It's going to be a bloodbath.
What I mean is that they're not even saying that it's going to end. They're just like, well, yeah, we're just going to have to deal with this because we have to do it because of the suffering of the brutal civil war in Turkey. And it's like, you know, I mean, there's a brutal civil war everywhere. In Afghanistan, only 25% of these people are from Syria, where there is this brutal civil war, I guess, if you want to keep calling it brutal civil war, though, you know, many parts of the country are unaffected. And even if you are taken over by ISIS in Syria, it's not really like that big of a deal. It doesn't change people's day-to-day lives very much. I mean, it's a very primitive country. So it's like whether or not they're controlled by the Syrian government or by ISIS, it doesn't really change very much about their day-to-day behaviors. But they're all going through Turkey where they have these fantastic refugee centers with modules. Modules, these are like container... like containers that they ship things in, and they turn these into refugee houses, and there's huge centers in Turkey for these people to go if they're escaping the war. So none of them coming into Europe are escaping any kind of quote unquote brutal civil war. At best, they're escaping a module refugee camp in Turkey. But most of them are not even originally from Syria. 75% of them are from other countries. So I mean, the whole thing is just, it's just utter nonsense. I mean, they said in Cologne, this mass gang rape attack, that these people were from North Africa. Well, I mean, where is there war in North Africa? I mean, I guess they destroyed the government of Libya. So now there's problems there. But there's no brutal civil war.
Well, they were the ones responsible for that as well. They're the ones that destroyed the most civilized state in Africa. They're the ones that destroyed that and took it down. They were the ones asking for NATO to come in. But even Gaddafi warned that this is what would happen. You would have the Islamists take over, and they would then send shiploads into Europe and try to take over that other side of the Mediterranean. And he warned that this is what was going to happen. But the latest way that they're talking about now, Andre, of how they're going to deal with this is to change the Asylum Act, so that instead of having to claim asylum in the first country they get to, they'll be free to go wherever they want and claim asylum wherever they want. So they're talking about even doing away with that clause in the Asylum Act, which says that they have to claim asylum in the first country they go to, which should be Turkey,
well,
as you're
Merkel,
saying.
That's the Dublin agreement or Dublin regulations. Merkel already totally abolished that.
By saying that if you go to Germany. Yeah, it's still there on the books, though, and that should be enforced. They should be made to stay in Turkey. That's the first free country that they get to. The only people that we should be accepting is refugees from the Ukraine. White refugees from the Ukraine, who they are refusing to accept. And they're saying, well, the Ukraine isn't a war zone.
Yeah, they've refused to... it's nuts. They've refused to accept refugees from the Ukraine. I mean, these are people who are actually getting bombed in their houses, but I mean, they're the ones bombing them. Germany and the United States are the ones funding the bombing of these people in the Ukraine who just said that they don't want to join the EU and get taxed by the IMF, and so they got bombed. I mean, a terrorist bombing after the U.S. paid for the overthrow of a democratically elected government, the U.S. and the EU, and these are the heroes we're supposed to believe. These are the good guys. I mean, this was a quote-unquote, no, I mean, not even quote-unquote. It was a real democratically elected government. I mean, they people voted for the Yanukovych government, and they paid for Nazis, Jewish backed Nazis to firebomb the government, and then there were fake shootings and so on, assassinations, snipers, and they overthrew the government, and now they're bombing people across the country. Well, I mean, it's settled down now, obviously, but I mean, they're still refugees, and Germany has said they will not accept refugees from the Ukraine, even though these people are actually getting bombed.
And these people have the same or a similar culture.
Pakistan is not getting bombed. Pakistan is not getting bombed. Nowhere in North Africa, Morocco, Libya, none of these people are getting bombed. Any of these people pouring in are not getting bombed. I mean, maybe some of the people from Syria, but they're free to go to Turkey. I mean, the people in the Ukraine have no place to go, and they are actually getting bombed, and they're not allowed in Germany. So, I mean, this just goes to show that this is about massive invasions of brown people. There's no moral principle that's being defended here.
It's just about replacing the white people with the browns. Otherwise, they would accept in the white Ukrainians. And the white Ukrainians are also Christian as well. So there wouldn't be a problem with the culture. As they say, oh, it's a clash of culture. There wouldn't be a clash of culture, and there wouldn't be a clash of race. And they'll say, oh, it is not about race. But it clearly is all about race for them, because otherwise they would let the white Ukrainians in. But they're only letting in the brown people, and they're only letting in the brown people that are Muslims. So it's against is against Christendom and it's against the white race. That's what the attack is against. But as I say, at least there are signs of hope. There are these groups that are being formed. There are people out on the streets. There's overwhelming support for these groups as well. I should imagine that the police, some of the police would will be helping them out as well. So there are positive things that are happening because of this. And I mean, that is always the way. When things get really bad, it pushes people to step up and start rejecting it and resisting it. So it's not all it's not all bad news this week. But we're coming to the end of the podcast here, Andre. Is there anything that you'd like to just add here at the end before we wrap up?
Vote Trump. If you're in Iowa, register the caucus. Let's get this done.
Yeah, vote Trump. I'll second that. Okay, well, thank you very much for listening. We'll try to be here again next week with another one. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.